ahead a succession of offensives aimed at Basra. They headed waterborne attacks, penetrating the Awa al-Hawazeh marshes to try to cut the Basra-Baghdad highway. Supported by fast boats, their mobility surprised Iraqi strategists who regarded the marshes as a watertight natural defense barrier. With floating pontoons, these tactics were as innovative as those used by the North Vietnamese against the Americans a decade earlier. Iraqi strength in heavy weapons was now a disadvantage in battles that at their peak involved 500,000 soldiers, with 1 in 20 killed in action. Iraqi forces entrenched behind the deeply dug-in placements of the artificial fish lake east of Basra. Here, Iran's offensives were far more costly. On these flatlands dominated by heavily fortified Iraqi positions, Iranian human wave attacks without air cover provided ideal targets for Iraqi artillery. But often inflexible, the Iraqis were easily circumvented by Iranians moving south to another important success in this area, the capture of al-Rizaz Island and the Shatt al-Arab. Here was another battlefield presenting images of the First World War, the winter conditions recalling the Battle of the Somme in 1916. Deeply dug trenches broken by strong points and dugouts smouldering from recent fighting. Everywhere signs of the soldiers' natural enemy. Thick mud, dried now, but recently the clinging stuff that bogged down the fighting. And brand new stocks of rocket-propelled grenades. Iran, now under arms embargo, was already self-sufficient in such weapons production. The prospect of Basra being cut off eventually panicked Iraqi leaders into widespread use of chemical weapons. Iranian gas masks afforded little protection, and chemical weapons, more than any other Iraqi ordnance, were responsible for extensive Iranian battlefield casualties. Mustard gas and nerve agents were delivered by small, innocent-looking planes based near Baghdad. ITN's cameras were prevented from filming more of them. At first, the scale of its use surprised the Iranians, who were forbidden by Ayatollah Khomeini from following suit. In contrast, the chemicals that injured these people had been developed in Iraq under Saddam Hussein's personal supervision. At first, the world ignored the evidence, but in time, chemicals would be used in a manner that would shock international opinion. And everywhere, that other reminder of the First World War, the huge death toll. Though in fact light by those standards, every offensive cost each side an average of 15,000 dead, devastating by modern ones.